You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
All right, we are off and running in the brand new NBA season. Pelicans did not get the win. What did you think? Kind of seems like the theme from a lot of Pels fans. Same old Pels. Is it? Do you think that or not? I don't know. There were some good things to look at for sure.
Now inbound to Ingram, left block. Going to try to back down Thybul. Oh, he spins out of trouble and flushes it with two hands.
Punch it. Punch it, B.I.
What a move on Matisse Thybul. Little 360 and the throwdown.
Well, we'll take your phone calls, and it is our question of the day. What did you think, Pels fans? We'll hear from Jordan, the intern, here as well, get his thoughts and kind of go over some of the responses already on our question of the day when it comes to your New Orleans Pelicans. Also, it is finally here. Took a while, literally 2 weeks. Saints back at practice today. Head coach Sean Payton spoke already, as he does in the mornings at first practice, and look, the topic, it's real, real easy. It is about the people that are coming back. And one thing for sure is it's players and it's starters that are going to be coming up here as well. So not a ton of info to give you, but here's what he had to say when he was asked, hey, what's it going to be like this week with all of these players lifted off of IR?
We have to see how it goes with there's a handful of different guys. There's more guys coming off of the return injured to, you know, today, you know, we'll have a group more we'll announce. So keeping track of it this week is challenging.
So, again, no names, no info from him. Amy Just, though, we normally have her on Tuesdays during the football season for the Picayune and Advocate. She did post this tweet to make it very easy for you. Already designated to return from IR or PUP have been Will Lutz, Quan Alexander, Marcus Davenport, Tre'Quan Smith. We know that because that was already in the transaction wire this week. Not yet, Michael Thomas, Nick Vanette, tight end, Ken Crawley, and Chase Hansen. Now, I'm assuming that's what Sean Payton means with some more guys coming in. Also, I saw a lot of people on Twitter this morning say, what about Eric McCoy? What about Teron Armstead? They were never placed on IR. So that is a good thing. Are they ready to get back or not? I don't know. We will see how all that happens as well. Eric McCoy, is he going to be available and come back? We'll touch on something that was posted yesterday in an interview, and you can actually hear what he had to say here in a quick second. Let's go, though, to Jordan, the intern, who joins us. Jordan, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Gus. Another beautiful day. Well, yesterday wasn't quite as beautiful as, you know, all the other days, but, hey, it's Thursday, one more day till Friday. Mm-hmm. Couldn't be any better.
All right, question of the day. I kind of stole your thunder there a bit, but I did say it had to do with the Pelicans. Go ahead and reintroduce it and give us your thoughts.
No, you're good. Thursday's question of the day, Pelicans fans. Give us your thoughts on the Pelicans' first regular season game. If you saw Philly over the Pelicans and the final score was 117-97, you could comment at ESPN Radio NOLA over on Twitter or call in 800-998-1003.
Mm-hmm. I told you yesterday at the beginning of the show, I would have liked them to win. I just kind of wanted to see certain things kind of start to develop and look at in a number of different ways. I think if I had to say my quick three takeaways from that game, Jordan, it was an absolutely brutal night for Jonas Valanciunas signing a new deal in the morning, expecting, you know, double digits and boards and points. He got 12 rebounds, only 9 points. Jordan, he was 3 of 19 from the floor. So odds are that he won't be that bad again. He was missing legs.
No.
Like, no, he can't be 3 of 19.
I mean, it's almost unheard of. I think he took one outside shot and he made it. And all the rest of the shots were what? Inside of the paint. And
yeah.
What, 17 or 18 of those shots? So I think it's or 14 14 or 15 of those shots. So it's kind of unheard of for your center to, you know, be getting that many shots inside the paint and missing them. So I don't think that's a concern that a lot of Pelicans fans should be having. I don't think that will happen again probably for the rest of his career.
That's what I'm saying. That was my thing. So that was one that's, yes, I know Pels fans are like, you see, we gave this guy 30 mil, he can't shoot. No, look, it was just a bad night. Now, it stinks that it was the opening night. My second takeaway that I took was it was nice to see B.I. get 25 points there with not a lot of other offensive help. Nikhil Alexander-Walker had a nice preseason. Jordan, he puts up 23 in starting. So that's good. That's some translation. My third is, Willie Green, what are you doing? You cannot start Josh Hart. Now, I know he got injured. It was a knee injury. No, don't all come on me. Stop it. In the first 4 minutes, I'm texting people at the game and watching it, and I'm going, he was personally responsible for about 12 points that the Sixers had. Couldn't get a rebound because of his size. Did a turnover. I all I'm saying is Trey Murphy, Najee Marshall, I mean, those guys I would start first. Now, I understand what you're about to tell me, because when I brought this up this morning in our discussion, you're like, well, the bench didn't exactly do anything. They had, what, 5 points or something like that at one point in the game. I get it. Starting, though, getting in the flow of things might have changed some of that. But, yes, that was a concern. We've talked about depth. The bench really didn't go out there and do anything. I just think it's trying to find that offensive flow. And, look, everyone we've talked to, and Jake Madison's coming on at 1:15, the number one thing, Todd Graffanini, Jake Madison, Will Guillory, Andrew Lopez, everybody that's covered this team and is part of this team says the number one most important thing for Willie Green is find that starting five. And we've said that. That's why I said first 10 games, you got to let it go. I'm throwing that suggestion out. Healthy. Don't start Josh Hart. That's all my suggestion is. That's it. Jordan.
Well, I think just for your point, I 100% agree with you. I just think for what the situation was, not having Zion and then seeing how the game played, I don't think that was the reason why the Pelicans won. That's more of what I was getting back to. I do agree with you. This is not going to be, you know, a starting lineup that you're going to see for, you know, the majority of the season. Willie Green even talked about that last night, that they are still trying to find that starting five, and it's still a long ways away. There's, you know, I know Pelicans fans are very antsy because the past couple of years you really haven't had that identity or that your core starting five was, whether that be injury or just, you know, lack of passion to play. But I do believe that you will find that starting five at some point in the season, and I think that's going to start when Zion comes back.
All right, Jordan. Well, tons of guests coming up. Ross Jackson next segment. Ben Heisler, Fantasy Football. Chris Blair, voice of the LSU Tigers, coming up at 12:45. Jake Madison, Corey Glore, voice of the Green Wave. They take on SMU tonight on ESPN. Coach G, Jordan, you forgot about him. You forgot about Eric Alexander Tuesday.
No,
you forgot about Coach G on Wednesday. He's on tonight at 1:45. Lee Sterling, 1:15. And Chip Patterson, 1:30. So about this, top of every hour, we'll check in with you. So top of next hour, top of the 2 o'clock hour. Sound good?
Whenever you need me, buddy.
All right. Thank you, bud. Appreciate it. Cajun Goat, I'll come to you in a quick second. First, Willie Green after the game.
Exactly what you said. We'll show the guys tomorrow on film what we did good. And it's a lot to take from this game that we did well. And then just a few improvement areas that we can continue to play with more faith, more purpose, more pace. I got to try to get our guys in situations where they can do that. And so that's where I kind of take the ownership on that.
All right, one more bite, then I'll go to Cajun Goat. And it has to do with, again, finding that starting five is going to be his number one job right now, to try to figure that out. And I think the only way you find that out, honestly, is game action. I mean, you have to throw some guys out there and see what sort of happens.
It's not set in stone, not right now. Long season. Stuff just happens throughout the course of the season. So we don't want to necessarily get locked into a lineup right now, but hopefully we will at some point and find a group that starts the game well for us, a group that we're really comfortable with. Right now, just we're not there yet.
All right. So Cajun Goat, you called yesterday on the show. You said you were excited. I still am as well. Look, Philadelphia, it was a number one seed. They sure didn't look like they missed Ben Simmons too much yesterday. That matchup that the guest from Philadelphia, The Athletic, said yesterday, Derek Bodmore said, look, Maxey, watch that matchup. He was smoking people left and right. You couldn't stop him, so that kind of helped. And look, Embiid was an MVP candidate last year. They're just a better team to further along. But those are my three things, like I said. Please don't start Josh Hart again. Valanciunas can't be that bad. And it was nice to see non-BI put up 20-plus points. That's my three top takeaways. What were yours, Cajun Goat?
Poor coaching to start off with the lineups. And that was the main thing I told you about yesterday when I called, was I want to see what this coach can do. You've had these guys long enough to know how they play, what they play, and what type of energy they bring to your game. Why does Garrett Temple and Sato get any time on the floor with this team is amazing to me. Mm-hmm. You got beat with your bench. You got out-hustled with your bench. You put an old man on the floor to try to take a young guys that are running past him. It's just ridiculous, Gus. I said this to begin with. I'll know what kind of coach I have if those two guys even make the floor. You had a guy that you bragged about as a coach in the whole preseason, even before preseason, in Jones, and you don't put him in until garbage time. That's ridiculous to me, Gus. The guy's a great defender. You could have slowed down the shooting of that team because you had a guy that can defend.
I can't disagree with you.
Coming off the bench.
I mean, when I'm looking at the game, he's coming in the fourth quarter, and I'm like, and Joel Myers goes, you know, seeing his first professional action, I'm like, man, Maxey was just smoking people left and right. I'm with you. Like I said, I do think that was look, and that is part of what you get when you get a first-time head coach. You know, hopefully, like players, look at the tape. Hopefully, the more experience you get, you sort of see that. But like I said, it's just that pit in my stomach started rumbling and I wasn't hungry. I was just like, I hope it's not, well, you know, the adage of, well, they're rookies and we don't want to make mistakes. I'd rather start veterans and all that. I understand that principle. I do to an extent, but at the same time, if those players aren't as athletic or talented, are you really winning on that aspect of it? And again, I'm not being overly critical. I'm just telling you what my gut feeling was when I first saw that. I mean, I love Josh Hart. I get it. But we discussed at the end of last year, once he got hurt, this guy that wind up playing so well and got himself a contract in Najee Marshall is Josh Hart, but bigger and maybe better on the offensive end. Right? Start him. I think, and I understand, look, well, Trey Murphy struggled last night, Gus, and you want him to start and all that. I hear you. Maybe not getting off to a good start or being in the flow of the game. I don't know. Maybe he needs to start. I don't know. He was 2-7 in 18 minutes, 6 points. He had 2 assists. Those two shots were threes. I'm just saying, look, just throw different lineups out there and see what sort of happens. That's all I'm saying, especially the length and the size. He had Hart guarding much taller players, much bigger players. It just, again, I understand you want to throw out a veteran, but if you have younger guys that maybe aren't as veteran that I think may, and again, me, I think, I haven't been at the practices. I'm not the coach. I'm not an NBA player or former NBA player. But literally in the first minute and a half to 2 minutes, I mean, Josh Hart was involved in about 4 or 5 plays that didn't go well. And it was because of lack of size and just, you know, again, Josh Hart's a great guy to come off the bench, give you energy. He hustles, he plays hard. I understand that. But you have 6'8 sitting on the bench. That's just me. It's just me. But I'm definitely not ready to throw the season down the toilet or anything of that nature. Philly's a better team. That's why they were favored. And I do think you do see some positive aspects of that. Brandon Ingram scoring 25 points. What's remarkable, he took 26 shots. He knocked down 12 of them. One was a three. He went to the free throw line 0 times. This was an issue last year, Zion getting killed and all of that. I understand that. And look, Willie Green touched on it and other players did as well, of not getting to the free throw line. But I have a hard time believing Brandon Ingram wasn't touched. B.I. after the game.
It's actually encouraging for me, you know, because I'm bouncing off guys and I have the ability to dunk the basketball. And to just make me want to attack a little harder and finish the plays. I had a bunch of missed layups tonight where I could have finished, so I'm encouraged by that.
I said my top three things. My fourth one is going to be kind of what he touched on right there. I really wish this team dunked more. I know that sounds simple. I just watch other games, other teams. I watch the highlights of the Knicks and Celtics, watched, you know, the Nuggets and Suns. We would love to see this team be aggressive to the rim. We saw it in summer league play with those summer league pals. But if you're going to get there, finish. 12, 14, 15, how many layups did the team miss yesterday? Finish. I'm sending GIFs to Jordan and Todd and Aaron of Jordan. Like, you never saw him lay up. I mean, it's like, dunk the ball if you can, if you're capable. You might even get an and one. It's something to keep an eye on. I'm glad B.I. said that, though. Be aggressive. Go at it. Maybe he would have gotten a free throw. It is ridiculous, though. 26 shots, not a call. Quick break. We'll come back. Ross Jackson, Locked On Saints. Let's get right at it. Head coach Sean Payton spoke this morning. I played one bite already. We're going to get some players back. We're going to get some injured players that were not on IR perhaps back as well. So we'll touch on all that and more when we come back. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Is currently open and here to serve our community with a fresh new inventory arriving daily
and over 150 quality pre-owned vehicles.
If you have any questions regarding vehicle replacement or you're looking to purchase a new vehicle, we are here to help. Stop by 220 South Hollywood Road or give us a call at 985-876-7210 or visit GregLeBlancToyota.com.
GregLeBlancToyota.com.
We are home strong.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Set yourself up for success when planning your next event, whether it's a wedding, festival, Mardi Gras, rodeo, or concert. Joe Septic Contractors knows that it's important to cover your bases. Joe Septic Contractors can supply multi-stall restroom, air-conditioned trailers, anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Planning a luxury event? Check out their new black tie luxury restroom and shower trailers. Visit Joe Septic at viscom.net with locations in Cutoff, Thibodeau, Fouchon, and Abbeville.
El Paso Mexican Grill and Steakhouse, Highway 1 in Raceland, features fantastic, authentic Mexican food and steaks. They have great lunch specials Monday to Fridays, plus enjoy happy hour from 3 to 7 p.m. with 2-for-1 margaritas. And on Fridays, it's 2-for-1 margaritas from open to close, plus live music on Friday evenings. El Paso Mexican Food and Steakhouse on Highway 1 Raceland.
Excited about a show where we just talk
sports. That's how they talk in the major league.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. And Coach Sean Payton spoke again this morning. Yep, you know where they're playing, Seattle.
Every time you go, you know there's a headache after the game. It's just, you know what? It's suck it up. Here we go. I mean, we've had earpieces, we've had you name it, and it's a loud place. It's a passionate fan base.
No doubt. Let's see how the Saints handle it this week. Will they have their starting center? That'll be one of the things we'll discuss here with Mr. Ross Jackson. And Ross Jackson is the way to follow over on Twitter. Locked On Saints, the podcast, and newly married. Newly married, sir. Newly married. I probably should have asked you if you were on your honeymoon. I'm sorry. Should I have asked? I mean, thank you for coming on.
No, man, it's all good. It's all good. No problem at all. Glad to be here with you, and I appreciate that. Thanks for the congrats. We're very happy, very pleased.
It's awesome to see, man. It was good. I love the videos and photos you guys posted, man. Wish you happiness for sure, sir. Here we go. I'm excited. I mean, to actually hear Sean Payton say, look, a bunch of guys are going to be coming off of IR. Amy just kind of put some of that list out there, you know, whether it's Michael Thomas, Vanette, Crawley, Hanson, Nick Underhill put out there that Crawley and Vanette are expected to practice. Obviously, Armstead and McCoy were not on IR, but McCoy, and I want to not butcher Chris's last name here, Rosverglue. Is that how you say it?
Oh, Rosverglue. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Rosverglue. He writes for The Spin and SI Now, and it's a Saints podcast, Boot Crew Media. He had an interview with them this week, and he said, I'm circling and targeting Seattle. And, you know, we talked about this last week. Eric McCoy coming back, I think, would be fantastic. So, man, I'm excited to see who practices today, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, it's going to be a very interesting time. I mean, we've seen both Eric McCoy and Terron Armstead on injury reports over the course of the last couple of weeks because they weren't moved to injured reserve, which was a really interesting choice by New Orleans because now you can put players in injured reserve and you can bring them back after 3 weeks, things like that. And so I think that for the Saints, they clearly believe that there was a chance that these players could get back sooner rather than later. Now, Eric McCoy has had a timeline of 5 to 6 weeks, somewhere around there, so that put him as coming back right after the bye week in terms of that timeline. Terron Armstead was 3 to 6 weeks, which puts him in the range of right after the bye week or the first few games with him following the bye week. So I think you get players like that back, whether it be against Seattle or over the next couple of weeks, regardless, along with guys like Quan Alexander and Marcus Davenport and Nick Vanette, who I think will have a maybe unexpected value coming back to the New Orleans Saints because of what it potentially opens up Adam Trautman to do more of in the passing game. Adam Trautman's played 212 snaps so far this season, but has run less than 80 routes. So I think, you bring Nick Vanette back, he does a little bit more of that blocking responsibility, and then it gives you the opportunity for Adam Trautman to go and run some of those routes and be the receiving threat that everyone had hoped he would be going into his second season. So I think all of these players end up bringing you back a lot of value.
Yeah, no doubt. And Ian Rappaport said still a couple of weeks away from Michael Thomas. And, you know, it's interesting we brought up this week that stat that was put out there that the Saints are 32nd out of 32 teams with explosive plays 11. A very short clip of a longer bite we'll play later for our audience, Sean Payton, on that.
The good news is I don't have to bring the report card home to my mom right now. You know, it's like week 5 and we've got a lot of football.
And a lot of players still to come. Is that how we should look at it, Ross? Is, look, Michael Thomas will still come back. You added Vanette. You're going to get a healthier offensive line eventually with Armstead and, as we mentioned, McCoy. I think the explosive players are going to come.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's not forget, too, that, explosive plays don't put points on the board. They just get you yardage, right? Touchdown.
And they look good.
Points. Yeah, and they look really pretty, right? And so I think, when you can get those, you take those. There's absolutely no doubt about that. But when it comes down to what the Saints have done so far this season, the fact that they're not living and dying by splash plays actually isn't a terrible look for them. I mean, you look at them right now as a team here in 2021 that is top 10 in the NFL when it comes to points scored. And then even in the passing game, while they're 32nd in passing attempts and they're 31st in passing yards, they're 7th in passing touchdowns with 12. So this is a team that has been phenomenal in the red zone. They are 13 of 14 in the red zone right now, number one in the NFL on the offensive side, and they only allow just over 35% touchdown rate in the on the red zone on the defensive side. They've been able to outscore their opponents without having these big splash plays, and instead by putting together these meticulous drives, which is what we've known the New Orleans Saints to be over the course of the last few seasons. I mean, look, the Saints might be 31st in the NFL right now when it comes to passing yardage, but they're also very last in passing attempts, and they're 6th in the NFL right now in rushing attempts. So they have been doing a good job winning these games with a formula that they know works for them and has worked for them over the past couple of seasons. That's with defense and the run game. You're not always going to get those big explosive plays if that's the game that you're playing.
Part of that longer clip in that, Sean Payton says, and this is a game and this is a team that the big cardboard sign or something that you start at the beginning of the week is patience and something that you're going to have to do. It sort of is basically how he's coached the offense. So finishing up with the offense here, is that kind of what we're going to expect, right? Not try to turn the ball over. Hey, if it's boring, it's fine, but try to matriculate down the field, get some points. Hopefully you get three, if not get in the end zone. But he said, don't expect a bunch of explosive plays. This defense doesn't give it up. What do you see with Seattle's D?
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly it. And look, I think Seattle's defense is weak. Don't get me wrong. I mean, they are, you know, near the bottom of the league in passing yardage allowed, near the bottom of the league in terms of rushing yardage allowed as well. And in particular, they're on the defensive side, their weakness being against the run game is something I think the Saints will try to exploit. So I don't think you're going to come out here and expect to see a bunch of these, you know, big, you know, 72-yard touchdowns over and over again. As much as you'd love to see that, that's just not the way the NFL game is played. And so I don't see that being, you know, a big focus for this New Orleans Saints team. I think that they will go to Seattle and once again do just like they did a couple of years ago with Teddy Bridgewater under center and focus on the run game and focus on their defense. Hopefully have Deontay Harris back and healthy. He had the hamstring injury and had to leave the Washington football team game there. He was the guy that we haven't seen on injury reports yet because he went straight to the bye week. So he'll be another name to watch along with Taysom Hill going into the injury reports today. So I think that becomes the most important part of it all. Can you win on the run, on the ground, and can you win on the defensive side? The Saints right now are generating the fifth highest turnover percentage forced in the NFL right now, and they're near the top of the NFL, second place right now with interceptions as a whole with 9. So they have done a good job taking the ball away and putting this ball back in the Saints offense or in the Saints offense's hands. Now you just want to see them, you know, get to a point where they're extending some more of those drives, which is where I think that the Saints will have focused over the course of this time off.
Got about 4 minutes left with Ross Jackson at Ross Jackson Nola is the way to follow over on Twitter, Locked On Saints. Let's go over to that side of the football because I do think it is sort of going to be the identity for at least this next quarter, right? Even if Thomas comes back and McCoy and all that, you got to give it some games. So the next quarter of games, sir, which is going to be Seattle, Tampa, Atlanta, and Tennessee, I do think the defense will once again sort of be your bell cow, per se, to try to see if this team can sort of win. Man, I mean, the fact that you can get back Davenport, Quan Alexander, even Ken Crawley, which adds depth as well. Remember, he was battling to be a starter during training camp.
Right.
That all helps as well, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, I know right now one of the biggest conversations around the New Orleans Saints is where's the pass rush? People are concerned because the pass rush win rate is down near the bottom of the league. The number of sacks is down near the bottom of the league. Now, they get pressures. They get hits on the quarterback. They're just not getting to the quarterback in time to force these sacks. And I think that, you know, sack production is something you can argue is just as much of value as, you know, pressures and hits on the quarterback. You can argue that sacks are more important. However it is, if you look at it, you still want to see this team perform better in that aspect regardless. And I think that getting Davenport back gives you the opportunity to do that. In the next couple of games, you're also going to get David Onyemata back, which is going to help you be able to do that as well. Then you look at Quan Alexander, who in what we have seen from getting Quan Alexander involved in the New Orleans Saints defense, it has opened up the possibility more for DeMario Davis to blitz, for Quan Alexander himself to blitz. He's a very good pressure player, very good pursuit player, as is the young Pete Werner. That one's going to be really interesting to see how the Saints manage the return of Quan Alexander with the standout debut so far of Pete Werner, the second-round pick out of Ohio State. That one will be really interesting to see. But, I mean, regardless of, you know, a bounty of riches at a position, which was, you know, considered to be a weak position going into the beginning of the season, getting any of those players back is huge for this New Orleans Saints team, particularly going into a stretch of four games here where you have a very important away game against Seattle, and then you have two divisional games to follow.
Mm-hmm. I think what's interesting, too, is David Onyemata. I mean, the fact that we I think we talked about that stat, right, Ross, that the Saints are among the highest teams of their DNs being double-teamed, which is essentially not respecting the interior defensive line of this team. I'm assuming he's available, right? That suspension's 6 weeks, and if I can count, he should be good to go on Monday, right?
Well, the tricky part is that suspensions are served by games, not by weeks. And so the way that it works with him is that he'll be out still be suspended for the sixth game of the season for the Saints, which is the Seattle Seahawks game, and then eligible to return the seventh game of the season, which will be week 8 against the Tampa Bay Bucs at home.
Okay, so when he comes back, I mean, this sounds like a silly question. How much better can the Saints defense be?
Oh, I think he comes back, and then all of a sudden you have another layer to this defense that you haven't had over the course of the first what will be 6 games, which is interesting because there are a couple of games that you can point to and you can say that the defense won the game, right, already so far this season. So I think, you know, you get David Onyemata back, all of a sudden he ends up being somebody that can generate immediate pressure for you as an interior defensive lineman. If you get pressure on a quarterback from off the edge, that's one thing. But if you're getting pressure on a quarterback from immediately up the middle, what we've seen happen in New Orleans over the past couple of seasons, in fact, it is a huge, huge build for this defense to be able to get that kind of pressure. Then all of a sudden you have, you know, quarterbacks that are trying to scramble away from interior pressure, and then they're running into pads of defensive ends, things like that. But then you also get a phenomenal run stopper there as well. And the Saints have been very good against the run so far on defense, which would be no surprise, but I do think you get an even larger boost in that area of the game as well with David Onyemata returning.
All right, final question for you, Ross. What do you expect on Monday night here?
Yeah, my expectation is, you know, a whole lot of Alvin Kamara, just like we saw with you know, the Saints and their win in Seattle a few years ago. Good defense for this team. You know, they're going to be going up against not Russell Wilson, but Geno Smith, who will be leading this Seattle Seahawks team. So I think they'll try to take advantage of that. Mm-hmm. Geno Smith has had in his past some decision-making issues over the course of his career. And so I think the Saints will try to either put pressure on him to be able to create that, or at least will do some disguising, or, you know, classic Dennis Allen style, do some disguising on that defensive side to try to confuse him a little bit and take advantage of that bad decision-making. I think the Saints can go to Seattle and win this game. They've been great on the road here over the last couple of seasons. Some might even say they've been better on the road than they've been at home. And I think that some of that is because what travels in the NFL, defense and the run game, and that's exactly what the Saints have, and I think that's exactly what they'll lean on Monday.
At Ross Jackson, NOLA, the way to follow on Twitter, Locked On Saints. And again, congrats, man, on the wedding day. Super excited for you, and we'll talk again next Thursday, hopefully after a Saints win.
I appreciate that, family. Thank you so much, man. And yes, absolutely. I'll talk to you next week. Y'all stay safe and take care.
Yeah, for sure. Go give him a follow, and you already do. Quick break. When we come back, fantasy football questions. Don't ask me. I'm terrible. You want to ask Benny Heisler. He is our fantasy and gambling expert for BetSided. He is up next. Call us with them right after I tell you about, of course, DraftKings. It is the app you got to do. If you've already not been doing it for football, you can do it for basketball. It's real simple. You can play daily fantasy hoops and make some money off of it, right? And plus, if you haven't done it by football and you're waiting on your new customer, you can get a free shot at millions of dollars in those total prizes, right? It's safe, secure, reliable. You can deposit, withdraw your cash whenever you want. You're going to be able to get points with three-pointers, rebounds, assists, obviously the buckets, all of that. It's simple. Set up your lineup. Stay under the salary cap. Every player has a cap attached to it, a number. Stay under the cap, and away you go. See how you do against the competition. So two things. Download the app, DraftKings. Put in the code LaRose. Download the app, DraftKings. Put in the code LaRose. Ben Heisler, next on ESPN New Orleans. I'm throwing caution. What's it gonna be? Tonight the winds of change are blowing wild and free. If I don't get...
Energize your business with Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. When you're elbow deep in a job, the last thing you need is to lose time and money fetching electrical supplies. Bayou Black Electric will deliver your items to the job site. There's daily scheduled service throughout South Louisiana, Lafourche, Terrebonne, Morgan City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the river parishes too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply, 985-223-8807, Highway 311 in Houma.
5G is here, but the big carriers want you to sign a pricey long-term contract to get in on the action. Well, no more, because Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide with plans starting at just $35 a month with no contract. And get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299, all on America's best networks. 5G coverage, 5G phones, less money. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary.
Wonder if you should get tested for colorectal cancer? Well, it's the second leading cancer killer in the U.S., and screening helps prevent it. So if you're 50 or older, it's time. Even if it doesn't run in your family, most often colorectal cancer occurs in people with no family history. And it doesn't always cause symptoms, especially early on, so don't wait for symptoms to get tested. Screening helps prevent the disease by finding precancerous polyps so they can be removed. Remove the polyp, prevent the cancer. Screening also helps find colorectal cancer early when treatment works best. You might be thinking, oh no, not that test. But here's the thing. You have options. There's more than one screening test. Talk to your doctor to find the one that's right for you. No more excuses. If you're over 50, get tested. Because colorectal cancer screening really does save lives. A message from HHS and CDC's Screen for Life campaign.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Get out there as fast as you possibly can. Click quarterbacks, try to add a player. Can you still do it, Ben Heisler? That cited fantasy and gambling expert. Are we going to get Case Keenum to start tonight against the Broncos?
How badly do you want to roll the dice? I actually don't hate it because mm-hmm. Keenum has shown in multiple times over the course of his career that in a short sample size, he can go in, take some shots downfield. He's a fairly accurate passer. And that's actually been an issue of Baker over the last few weeks, is that dealing with that shoulder injury, he just hasn't been the type of accurate quarterback and mobile quarterback that they need him to be. I think Keenum is sort of a poor man's version of Mayfield, and he's healthy. Mm-hmm. The question will be whether or not the playmakers surrounding Keenum are enough to be able to move the ball downfield against Denver, who's had a very up-and-down season so far. But if you are desperate, there are worse plays than Case Keenum this week, believe it or not.
I want to talk about quarterbacks here in a quick second with something that Keyshawn Johnson said on the NFL show yesterday on ESPN of note and interest, and we can tie it into fantasy. But this is a kind of a big game. I know for fans, maybe they don't follow them. They're like, but as you mentioned, Broncos start out 3-0. Browns start out really well, but they're both 3-3. I almost feel like you don't get this one. It's going to be really hard for them to make the playoffs.
Well, it's going to be a tough division for Cleveland. I think everyone kind of knew that the AFC North would be a bit more challenging going in. You knew that Baltimore was going to be certainly in competition for it. Pittsburgh, I don't know whether or not people assumed that Ben Roethlisberger was completely washed the way that he's looked, but, you know, credit to them. They've won two in a row after starting off 1-3. And then Cincinnati deserves some credit, too. They've given up the least amount of points in their division. They're plus net points of 37. They're playing really good defense. In fact, the Bengals might have the second or third best defense right now in the AFC. But Cleveland needs to get healthy, and they need to start playing to their level of capabilities. And they're 2-1 at home, hosting a Denver team that is trying to avoid a four-game losing streak after starting off 3-0. Their defense still can be very good, and this includes both Cleveland and Denver, especially with their ability to get to the quarterback. My concern really, though, for mm-hmm. Cleveland is, you don't have Nick Chubb, you don't have Kareem Hunt. So much of your offense went through them, and your offensive line, which is number one coming into the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus, is banged up as well. If you do not protect Case Keenum and you don't establish any sort of run game, because that sets up your whole offense, I think Cleveland could be in trouble.
Speaking with Ben Heisler, MedCited, you can call in 800-998-1003. Gambling and fantasy football expert here. Look, Keyshawn Johnson yesterday was kind of going off on Trevor Lawrence, saying it's a lot of hype or not. Him and Dan Orlovsky kind of got in an argument. And I was just, look, I'll just be honest. Sometimes when he says things, I just go, really? And this was one of those, because he was saying, look, some of the other guys taken in the draft, they're giving their teams chances to win and not the Jags. And I'm like, dude, the Bears with Justin Fields were a playoff team last year. Mac Jones only has two wins. Zach Wilson has one win. Trevor Lawrence has one win. I'm like, he was speaking about him like everybody else was 5-1. So I guess the way I'm bringing it up to you is, in the world of fantasy, with fantasy football points, of the 2021 rookie quarterbacks that are playing, who is the one that is kind of leading the way?
I mean, right now it's Trevor Lawrence. I suppose Mac Jones might be in the conversation as well. You know, he had that game last week against Dallas where he threw for two touchdowns, took a couple deep shots down the field, one of the air yard leaders from earlier. But I mean, none of the quarterbacks are putting up impressive numbers. I think if we're talking purely from an upside perspective, I still think Trey Lance could be the guy in San Francisco. And I think that's someone that we've tended to forget about because the times that he has played, it's been forgettable, but even in a bad performance, he still rushed for 87 yards. So you got a ton of points that way. I'm most surprised by the Bears not running Justin Fields more. He's got 4.4 speed. It's a big physical presence. He can get meaningful yards, and their defense continues to be, or excuse me, their offense continues to be among the worst, if not the worst, in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So I'm giving him hope because I believe in his talent, that they're going to eventually allow for some more mobile opportunities for him from a fantasy level. But I do think Trevor Lawrence has the most room, Gus, I think, to be able to operate the offense the way that he wants to. He's taking plenty of deep shots down the field. He has Marvin Jones. He has Laviska Shenault. They're still incorporating a run game with James Robinson. But I think when it's all said and done, from a fantasy level, it's still probably going to be somebody like Trey Lance that might be leading the way purely because of his rushing ability.
Right.
But if you're talking about quarterbacks that have just looked the part, I absolutely think Trevor Lawrence has looked the part, even though the results haven't exactly come yet. He's made some unbelievable throws,
right,
and a ton of poise.
He's
a really good quarterback. And if you're Jacksonville, you know, regardless of whoever your coach is or what that situation is, knowing that you have Trevor Lawrence on your team, you know, for the foreseeable future, you should feel very confident.
Ben, I 100% agree with you. That's why I don't understand what Keyshawn was trying to do there, other than try to incite, you know, a debate there, because that Thursday night game actually turned out to be a fun one to watch. Remember when he was going back and forth with Burrow, and I'm like, that guy can play. They're a really bad organization and team, and it's just going to take some time to get players around them and all. Along those lines, though, I think it's interesting. I did get this text earlier today, so I want to ask you. There's a lot of reports and smoke and fire, and I'm seeing some reports just in the last 10 minutes that by Tuesday at the latest, Deshaun Watson to the Dolphins is going to happen. Are you hearing the same thing? And if that's the case, is that somebody I'm assuming if Miami is making that move, he's going to start for them and play for them. So is that a guy that I'm you know, if I got a spot open, I go get?
I think you have to. There's still so much that the NFL has kind of left ambiguous here as far as their investigation, as far as potential civil suits. I think, you know, he's still involved in 22 different civil suits for his off the field, discussions and a lot of the things going on involving a lot of the sexual assault allegations. So, I just don't know as to whether or not the NFL, once he gets moved, is more likely to start to go ahead and continue on their investigation or start to make the process known. Because right now they don't have to do anything. He's just sitting on the bench. And maybe they go ahead and evacuate and move towards it in the offseason. I don't know what that plan would be. But if you do need quarterback help, and Miami is clearly a team that had playoff aspirations but are just complete free fall right now, I do think you have to go ahead and find room on your team to go ahead and add him to the bench. Maybe there's an injured reserve spot that you can throw him on, or maybe you have some room in the midst of some of these bye weeks. I think it does become a priority. Especially if he is able to play in the second half of the season, because Watson over the last several years has been a top five fantasy quarterback.
All right, taking a look at some of the matchups on with Ben Heisler, fantasy football expert and gambling expert here as well. What are some of the matchups that to me, like I'm looking at, hey, must start this week, or I don't like this matchup. Maybe I'll pass and try to get somewhere else. The one that my eyes are kind of looking at is Bengals Ravens here. Do I trust Burrow against that defense if I have, say, another quarterback that has a better matchup, or am I going with this, him and Chase?
I like Burrow a bit this week because they've done a really good job, Gus, of getting the ball out quickly, and their offensive line, I think, has been far superior than what we all expected them to be. Because remember, that was the talk of everything going into this year, is the offensive line let Joe Burrow down, they let him get hurt. And instead of taking Penei Sewell, number five overall, they took Ja'Marr Chase, so they could go ahead and pair Burrow and Chase together. And they took a lot of flack for it. And there was understandable questions involved, but you're seeing why they did it. Chase is likely the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year at the wide receiver spot. I don't think that's happened since Odell Beckham Jr. back in 2014. So they have done a remarkable job of building that offense and catering it to a lot of their strengths. They're still running the ball quite a bit with Joe Mixon, so they're setting up the passing game with an effective running game. And also, if you're Baltimore, no team blitzes more than the Ravens. And I think right now the Bengals are kind of prepared to handle that. They can get the ball out quick. They can take advantage of the short passing game. You know, Burrow's so accurate in the short to intermediate part of the field that I think it's going to be a fun back-and-forth game. I'm probably taking the over here, on 46 just because I don't anticipate this being any sort of major defensive-oriented game. I think both these offenses are going to go back and forth.
Is the Bears-Bucks game one that you look at, too? Tampa is a 12.5-point favorite there. You're chuckling. Tampa just seems like, you know, again, they're there with the Packers. I would put the Cowboys when they're healthy with Dak as well up there. You know, Rams, Cardinals. It's a different tier, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there's three double-digit favorites this week. You have the Rams over the Lions and the Matthew Stafford, Jared Goff, Sean McVay revenge game. I don't see how the Lions keep that one particularly close. There were initial reports that Tyrod Taylor might play for the Texans this week. He's out again. The line feels too big. If it's 18 in some books, I'd still probably lean on the Texans there, but you know, they've gotten just clobbered on the road, like back-to-back losses by 30-plus points. So I get why people wouldn't feel particularly confident, but Chicago and Tampa is a little bit different because remember that Thursday night game last year in Chicago where Tom Brady didn't remember that it was fourth down. He thought it was third down. Turns out it was fourth down, and you know, all the internet basically went completely crazy. Chicago has hung in with Brady in years past, and the Bears are still 3-3. They still have a top seven, top eight defense in the league, and I think those numbers would actually be better if they had just any sort of competence on the offensive side of the ball, because their defense has been on the field, Gus, for so long that right. when you know that your offense isn't doing anything, at some point as a defensive side, you're going to just quit because it's like, what more can we do? 12.5 feels a tad bit too much here. I think the Bears are going to play Brady well. One area that he struggles is when they generate a lot of pressure, and I think Chicago has one of the best pass rushes in the NFL. So they're not going to win, but they did beat Tom Brady with Nick Foles last year, so anything can happen.
Hey, here in New Orleans, we'd love an upset, you know, get the Saints closer to the top. That is for sure. At Benny Heist, the way to give him a follow, managing editor over there at Bet Sided, gambling and fantasy expert. What can folks find as you tell us goodbye, sir?
Yeah, the nice part about today, Gus, as we get into October, is we have NFL today, we have Major League Baseball, we have college football, we have NHL, and we have NBA action. It's like everything in all the betting world is coming together to celebrate. So plenty of coverage, plenty of insight, analysis. We got roundtables, we got videos, everything you need to make sure that your weekend and your Thursday is ready to bet. We have it available over at fansided.com/betsided.
You like Braves or Dodgers tonight?
I think the Braves close them out.
Really?
And I know that's a, I do. Max Fried's really good, and he's 5-1 in his appearances in the postseason for Atlanta. But that's not his record. That's the record that he has, or that the team has when Max Fried starts. And he knows how to maneuver this Dodgers lineup. Their offense is just so inconsistent, and they're not sure what their starter is going to be. I think Atlanta's feeling really comfortable. I think they close it out.
Be pretty big for them if they were able to do it. And obviously Houston trying to close out Boston tomorrow. Thank you so much, Ben. Appreciate the time, sir.
You got it, my friend.
Yep, for sure. When we come back, the voice of the LSU Fighting Tigers, Mr. Chris Blair. We'll talk about the matchup over in Oxford this weekend. LSU and Ole Miss. They're retiring Eli Manning's number, and, you know, no one could ever wear that again and have Manning painted in the end zones. We'll talk with Chris next on ESPN New Orleans.
Oh, won't you take me home tonight? Oh, down beside your red fire light. Oh, and you give it all you got, that bottom girl. You make the rockin' world go round. That bottom girl, you make the rockin' world.
It's a big win for Slidell, a big win for the whole North Shore, and it's called Camellia Bay Resort and Casino. This $325 million project will have a positive impact on our community. It's a fact. In cities with resorts like this one, jobs go up, home values rise, and the economy booms. And think about this. All the money that goes to Mississippi casinos now will stay right here and turn into millions for us. Winner! Millions to fix flooding.
Millions to build a new sports complex for East St. Tammany. And millions for our roads, our schools, our safety. See what we've got planned for Camellia Bay Resort and Casino. Get more details and find answers to all your questions at thenorthshorewinds.com. Vote yes, and the North Shore wins. Vote yes, and we all win. Paid for by the North Shore Winds.
Your new Ford dealership in LaFouche Parish is Calvin Braxton Ford. You may need your vehicle serviced, but you don't want to drive too far. Get ready for some good news. The Calvin Braxton Ford service department in Lockport is now open. And better yet, they truly want to keep your vehicle running at its best. Now offering a special on gas-only oil changes, just $39.95 up to 5 quarts. Plus, with 4 new tires, your alignment is only $69.95. Yeah, Calvin Braxton Ford, 5878 Highway 1 in Lockport.
On August 29th, 2021, Hurricane Ida wreaked havoc on our community, leaving thousands of people feeling helpless, vulnerable, and desperate. We refuse to let insurance companies do the same.
At AMO Trial Lawyers, we have assembled a team of not only attorneys, but also contractors, adjusters, engineers, and estimators with the focus of maximizing your claim value and assisting in your recovery.
If you think your insurance company isn't treating you fairly, get a name that insurance companies know by calling 985-446-3333. I'm Matt Ori.
And I'm David Ardwin.
And we are the AMO Advantage.
Can we talk sports? Real sports.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
In a tie game, 42-42. Johnson going to work under center. Johnson takes the snap. Fakes the handoff. Now rolls. Throws. Jure Jenkins at the 5. Right corner of the end zone. Touchdown. Fighting Tigers. 1 yard.
That is Chris Blair, voice of the LSU Fighting Tigers on the LSU Sports Radio Network. He joins us on Thursdays to talk Tigers football. Chris, good afternoon to you, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well, Gus. Hope you're doing well as, here on this end of the week. Boy, amazing what a win will do, and looking forward to a matchup coming up Saturday. Another tall challenge against Ole Miss.
How much fun was that? Let's start with the fun stuff. How much fun was actually seeing the greatest rushing performance ever, which is crazy to think of the LSU running backs they have had, but to see that and just go back and forth with a Florida team, and it was a beautiful day. It was a fun game to watch.
Yeah, who would have thought, 2 weeks ago that, Ty Davis Price would have his name etched into the record book as the single game rushing leader in LSU history, who's had, pretty good run of running backs for a long, long time. But, it was fun. I mean, it was fun. I think there was, they did a great job in being ready to play. I mean, there was the walk down the hill to the locker room was very, I wouldn't say militaristic, but I mean, you could tell they were in a hurry, and they were all looking ahead. Like, they were ready to get in the locker room. They were ready to get suited up. They came flying out of the chute before the game and before the kickoff. I mean, there was just – I don't know how to describe it, coming off two very disappointing losses, yet they were ready to get after it on Saturday. And I think some of that has to do with just, it's a chance to beat Florida. And I know for me personally, there's nothing better than that. I mean, I just – So I told Coach Joe last week, Coach, whatever you can do, let's beat Florida. And then I thanked him last night for going ahead and doing so. But it was a fun afternoon at Tiger Stadium.
Speaking of Coach O, Chris, what does it say about that locker room and even probably he and his staff, too, to have that kind of performance with that team? And, look, they're not oblivious to what was going on over the weekend and all of that talk this past week. But to show up and do that, I think it kind of speaks about maybe that respect they do have for him, huh?
Yeah, I know there's no question about it. I mean, that's what, it's hard for some people to understand, wait a minute, the guy is basically, parting ways on Sunday, and yet you've got these players who are, upset about it. Well, that shouldn't come as a surprise. These guys decided to come to LSU, and a big part of that was the LSU brand, and a big part of that was the relationship they have with the head football coach, who, as we all know, is very integral to the recruiting process. At LSU. I think it speaks volumes. I also like the fact that the running game had been abysmal for, all season. And suddenly there's a new wrinkle. They go to that jumbo heavy package. Mm-hmm. Big jumbo, I think, is what Coach O calls it. They had Dellinger at times as an H-back. They had Jack Mastrin as the battering ram at tight end. And, you know, Ty Davis Price was able to get to the second level, which that was what was missing. You know, LSU doesn't have a stable of running backs that can create the hole at the line of scrimmage. They need a crease. They need a gap. They can make incredible plays once they get to the second level of the defense. That's where their talent takes over. And, you know, by coming up with that wrinkle, it allows CDC to get to that second level and make the plays and the cuts and, you know, either run by guys or run through guys once he's got ahead of steam. So I got to give some credit to the coaching staff. I know it's easy to sit here now and go, well, where was that 3 weeks ago? Where was that in the opener against UCLA? But, hey, I give them credit for coming up with it. Better late than never.
That is very true. Still found ways to make that happen. Speaking with Chris Blair, voice of the LSU Tigers. I look at this matchup this weekend, and I don't know if it's a fair analogy, but I almost feel like it's when you play like a team like Golden State, when you face Ole Miss. I mean, they average over 500 yards of offense a game. They average 43 points. That's what they are. You know what it's going to be. They won against Arkansas 52-51. I mean, so you might be able to score in there, but how difficult is it, or is it something that Coach O talked on yesterday? You know you have to show up, and when you walk into Oxford, you're going to have to score at least 35 points. I mean, if you don't, it's not going to be a good day.
Yeah, I think you would be naive to simply say, okay, we got to go in there, we got to stop Ole Miss. I mean, I know that Alabama was able to do so to a certain degree. They got to a big lead early. But the fact of the matter is, you're right. You're going to have to score points. You're going to have to keep pace. You won't be able to shut down Ole Miss. I mean, if you are, fantastic. I just don't see it happening. But you got to make them blink. You know, a team like that, you've got to make them blink a couple of times. And look back to the Florida win. Four turnovers. I mean, that's what you have to do, because when you saw Florida hold on to the football, what was the end result? You know, they were scoring points. They were able to climb back in the ball game. You got to take the ball out of their hands. So I think that's kind of what you're looking for here. Offensively, I think LSU can put points up with Ole Miss. I don't think that's the issue. The issue is, can they make the Ole Miss offense blink one or two times? Can they make some key plays defensively, whether it's a turnover, whether it's a forced punt, to just get the ball out of Matt Corral's hands? I also think a big key is finding the running game. You know, what's lost in the high-scoring game against the Florida Gators is the actual drive chart for LSU. Because they were running the football, they were spanning 75 yards, 80 yards, 65 yards, 45 yards, and they were doing it in 8, 10, 11, and 12-play drives. That's, again, a good way to keep Matt Corral and the high-powered Ole Miss offense kind of sitting on the sidelines as spectators. So I think that's why you got to feel confident, A, you found the running game, you can use that to your advantage in time of possession. And defensively, you were able to, you know, get four turnovers. I don't know if you can get four against Ole Miss, but you need to find a way to get the ball from them.
That's a very good point. Getting interceptions, pick sixes, all those different things, that definitely helps for sure. And look, you know what kind of environment you're going to get there. Retiring Eli Manning's number. They painted Manning in the end zones already. It's going to be a charged-up atmosphere. And look, they're ranked 12th. They only have a loss. This is a very big game for them, and I think for the rest of the season, you're probably going to get a kind of a chip on your shoulder type LSU football team, I think, huh?
No, I think absolutely. I think all of the things you just listed tell me why I like LSU in Saturday's matchup. Whoa. All of the pressure is on Ole Miss. I mean, let's face it. You know, the Rebels are pulling out the red carpet to honor Eli Manning, deservedly so, retiring his jersey. But they're also trying to recruit a family member of his. They're going to roll out the red carpet on this Saturday. They're number 12 in the country. They still think, you know, things could go their way. They could be at the top of the SEC West. I think all the pressure's on Ole Miss. I think LSU, again, with the decisions being made, the announcement being made, what pressure do you have? Just go out there, have fun, play football.
That's a very good point. Chris Blair, safe travel, sir, when you all make your way over to Oxford. At LSU Tigers Voice, the way to follow over on Twitter, and, of course, the LSU Sports Radio Network. And you never want to miss those hearing voices. Who do you have this week, sir?
Hearing voices came out yesterday. We had David Kellum, who's one of the great guys in our business, been calling Ole Miss action for over 40 years, 32 of which football. And just we talk about a whole number of things. He's a big music lover. We talk about his music collection, the fact that he loves vinyl. It was another just overall conversation with a very interesting and cool dude. Later today, we'll break down with LSU recon, really just the X's and O's and, you know, what are the strengths and weaknesses of the Lane train and the Ole Miss Rebels. So it'll come out later this afternoon. You can find it at lsusports.net/podcast.
2:30 kickoff on Saturday. Should be fun. Thank you, Chris, as always, for your time on Thursdays.
You got it, Gus. Thanks for having me.
All right, for sure. Hour one is in the books just like that. Coming up in hour number two, Jake Madison, Locked On.